is one beautiful passage this morning, something we all are going to need in our Christian lives at one point or another, and that is the comfort of the Lord. Verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So the God of all comfort we're going to look at this morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you so much. We thank you that you love us, that you've given us your salvation, your word, your Holy Spirit. Lord, an opportunity to assemble and hear from your word. And we pray now that we would open our hearts to hear from you. And Lord, we would listen. We would respond as the Holy Spirit leads. Lord, we are grateful for your kindness and for your comfort. May you be magnified in this service. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the Bible says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Praise God that he's a merciful God. And I guarantee you, the longer you're saved, the more grateful you'll be for God's mercy. Because we fail him almost daily. We don't want to, but we do. And he is merciful. It was his mercy that led him to save us from sin. The Bible says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness as we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And so if it wasn't for the mercy of God, we couldn't even be saved. But after we're saved, God just shows his mercy so often in our lives. He's so patient with us, and we praise him for that. But the Bible finishes there in verse 3 by saying, and the God of all comfort. And that is our focus this morning, is that God is a God of comfort. And we're going to look at the person of the Holy Ghost, who one of his names is the Comforter. But God comforts his children. And it's a beautiful truth. If you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, over to the right a few books, the Bible talks about this. But as I mentioned earlier, there will be a time in your Christian life, and you may be in it now, when you will desperately need God's comfort in your life. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. We often talk about the ministries of the Holy Ghost in our lives. We often focus on his power, and praise God he came to give us the power to witness. We were told that in Acts chapter 1. We often focus on him guiding us into all truth, but Jesus promised that he would do. He's not only the author of the word, but he's the interpreter of the word, and he guides us as we study his word. But one of his ministries is to comfort his children. And that is what we're going to focus on this morning, is that God is the God of comfort. The Bible talks in Romans 15 about the comfort of the Scriptures. But as it says here in our passage, verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. And so what God is telling us is, in our Christian lives, we will have tribulation. But when we need the comfort, he is the one that will also comfort us in the tribulation that he's allowed in our lives. And there's a lot of reasons why God allows the tribulations, and we could talk about all those, we won't. But God is always working in us, always developing us, always conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:10, the God of all grace have called you into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that, you've suffered a while. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. God allows tribulation because we need it. And we're going to get to heaven one day, and we're going to look back and at the tribulations that we thought were so intense and so unmanageable, and we're going to look at them as they were nothing. How do we know this? Look at Romans 8:18 and we'll see. Romans chapter 8, verse 18, God even tells us that when we get to heaven, the glory that we'll have in heaven will so overshadow the tribulations that we faced on earth that they will seem like insignificant. Notice Romans 8:18, the Bible says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now, we've been appointed unto suffering as part of being a Christian. In Philippians 1:29, Paul says, "It's given to you on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." So once you're saved, God is going to use tribulations in your life to continually develop you, to drive you to your knees so you spend more time with Him. It is a reality of the Christian walk that we're going to have these tribulations. But the Bible tells us here that God is the one who will comfort us, as it says here in verse 4 of our passage, in all our tribulation. Psalm 34:19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." We will have tribulation, we will have afflictions, but God is the one who will be there to comfort us. Now, go to John 14, but in speaking of the Holy Ghost, as we mentioned, He came to give us power. He came to guide us into truth. He came to bear fruit in our lives. When we talk about fruit, what is it called? It's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that bears fruit in our lives. But one of His ministries, and one of His most beautiful ministries, is that He is our Comforter. And Jesus Christ prophesied of this before His death and burial and resurrection, that one day, and that day, of course, began at Pentecost, the Holy Ghost would come and indwell us permanently until the day of redemption. And notice John 14, verse 26, Jesus said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Notice that one of the names of the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Trinity, is the Comforter. That is His title. The Comforter. What is God telling us in that? He's telling us that He is there for us. He indwells us. The Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We are the temple of the Comforter. And when we need the comfort, go to God. Say, "Lord, I need comfort." And God will give it. Because God lives there. And one of His ministries, as we read here, notice John 15, the next chapter over, in verse 26. So 14:26, He's called the Comforter. Notice 15:26, it says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me." Back in John 14, He says, "I will give you a Comforter." John 16, He's called the Comforter. The Holy Ghost is the Comforter. And you know, when the disciples were just starting out and the church was just getting started, they faced a lot of tribulations, a lot of persecutions, sometimes even to death. And the Bible, if you go to Acts chapter 9, the Bible records for us that the Holy Ghost was there, fulfilling this beautiful ministry of comforting His children. Notice Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. The Bible says, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." And so the disciples, it says that as they were serving the Lord, they were edified, they walked in the fear of the Lord, they were multiplied, but it says they were in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. My friend, if you're born again this morning, you are living in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And oftentimes, I believe we just don't avail ourselves of this amazing ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives when we need the comfort. And we often do. And when those times come, and they will, it's okay to just say, "Lord, I need your comfort." Now, sometimes God will lead us to others. Others who've been through what we're going through, and they can help comfort us as well. And from a physical, earthly point of view, we all know what that's like. Nobody understands our trial like somebody that has gone through it. And God even explains that in this passage, which we'll talk about in a moment. But at the same time, God explains to us, He says, as I comfort you in your tribulations, I'm not only developing you as my child, but I'm also preparing you to comfort someone else when they go through the same trial. And so God is working two ministries in our lives simultaneously. He's conforming us to the image of Christ and making us more like Jesus, while at the same time preparing us to be a blessing to someone else. It's beautiful, isn't it? How God works. And we need to be crying out to the Comforter when we need that comfort. And often He will lead us to someone who's been through it, who can sit down and say, I know what you're feeling and I know it hurts. And I'm on the other side, and I can tell you that God is there. Go back to our passage, if you would, down in verse 4 again of 2 Corinthians 1. The Bible says that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, this is God's Word. And He clearly states that not only will He be there for us when we need His comfort, and we will, but that while He comforts us, He's preparing us to help others who go through the same trouble. And He uses the word trouble. And the Bible teaches us to have that empathy, doesn't it? Weep with them that do weep. Rejoice with them that rejoice. It says, bear one another's burdens in Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. We're here not only to serve God, but one of the main ways that we serve God is by serving others. Being a blessing to others. One of the reasons why God left us here was to be a blessing to others. Go to 1 Corinthians 12, and I want to show you a passage about this. When God talks about the body of Christ, He talks about this ministry that we have to one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 25. The Bible says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Isn't that beautiful? Suffer with it, rejoice with it. And so God says that we are a body. We're a family. And when one part of the body is suffering, we suffer with it. That's called empathy. When one body is honored, we are honored with it. We're here to be a blessing to each other. And one of the ways we can do that is to comfort one another. If you go to Hebrews 13, the Apostle Paul talked about those who have been in prison for their faith. And he was obviously talking about himself as well. But notice Hebrews 13 and verse 3. He says, remember them that are in bonds, talking about those who have been imprisoned for their faith in Jesus Christ, as bound with them, and them that suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. And so as we pray one for another, God wants us to remember those in our body that are suffering, as if we are suffering with them. And God may just give us the opportunity, the ministry of helping them, especially if we've been through a similar trouble, tribulation in our own Christian walk. So the next time we go through a trial, we need to stop and consider, why is God allowing this in my life? Why? What is He trying to do? What is He trying to work in my life? Rather than have the attitude of woe is me and I wish this wasn't happening, why not have the attitude of what's God trying to teach me? The trial is going to be the same either way. But our perspective is going to define how much we learn and how much we grow. And if our perspective is what's God trying to teach me, but all, not only that, but how is God preparing me to be a blessing to someone else down the road? God's going to bring someone across my path who's going through the same tribulation, the same trouble, and I'm going to have an opportunity to put my arm around them and say, I understand. I understand what you're going through. Not in the sense of, you know, being all mega spiritual and saying, you know, just tough it out and all things work together for good, but in the sense of, I understand and I know the pain. I've been there. And it's not pleasant. But God is in control. God does have a purpose. And there is joy on the other side. Because I've been there. So what a beautiful truth that God not only comforts us in all of our troubles, He promises that. That when we were born again, He said, I'm not just going to say, now go serve me and I'll see you when you get to heaven. I'm actually going to come and live in you. I'm going to indwell you. I'm going to be there for you no matter what. And there's going to be troubles and there's going to be tribulations. I'm there. Isn't that beautiful? I'll be there in the person of the Comforter. And I am there to comfort. So in our passage, verse 5, the Bible says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. So Paul now, he's making it personal again. He says, I suffer all the time. And you can read Paul's accounts of his beatings, of the shipwrecks, the imprisonments, being chased. At one point he was even stoned and they thought he was dead. Paul went through all of that for Jesus. He says, these sufferings, they abound in us. Paul knew when he was called. He says, I knew, because God even told me up front, all the things he must suffer for my sake. He says, all these things abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. What a perspective. He says, I go through a lot of suffering. And he did. But he says, the consolation, the comfort from God also abounds. Isn't that beautiful? That he pours on the trials and then he pours on the comfort. And that's how God works. Verse 6, whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Saying, I understand that not only am I being afflicted for me, I'm being afflicted so I can be a blessing to you. And then God allowed him to write it down for us. And God's going to do the same thing in our lives. He's going to allow those trials not only to develop us, but again, so that we can be a blessing to others. As Paul says here, this isn't just for me, this is for you. He says, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. I'm going to be able to help you through your suffering as I am helped by God through my suffering. He says, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. I believe that in the workplace, in our families, these places where it's tough to witness to people because we see them all the time. You know, it's one thing to witness to a stranger. They don't know anything about us. We don't know anything about them. But it's another thing when we witness to people that know us, isn't it? People that we've spent a lot of time with, people that know our background. Maybe they've grown up with us. Maybe we work with them and see them every day. That's totally different. And I believe that one of the ways that we are most effective in showing them the power of Christianity is when they see how we handle trials. We know how the world handles trials. And when they see that a Christian, they suffer too. But how do they handle the suffering? Do they throw up their hands in despair? Do they complain and moan all the time? Or do they acknowledge that God is with them and that God has a purpose? And they go through it with the grace of God. Nothing can witness to those people that we rub shoulders with on a regular basis like the way we handle suffering. Where do we get the ability to do that? It only comes from God. We're not super special. We're not super powerful and strong. But God is. And God is there. God has indwelt us. And God has promised to be there to not only empower us, to not only guide us into truth, to not only bear fruit in our lives, but to be the comforter in our lives as we go through trials. Listen, if you don't need this now, you're going to need it sometime in the near future. Sometimes we just need to get alone and say, Lord, I need your comfort right now. You think God will answer that prayer? Of course he will. And as we do that, God is saying, I'll be there. and I'm going to help you through this. But I'm going to go further. I'm going to prepare you to help someone else. And we need to be looking for those opportunities. You know, the Bible commands us to weep with them that weep, rejoice with them that do rejoice. Be on the lookout, especially among our body of Christ here. Be on the lookout for someone that's hurting. And if God has brought you through a similar trial, go with the leading of the Holy Spirit and be a blessing to that person. And put your arm around them and be God's earthly instrument to help be that comfort in their trial. So our God is the God of salvation, the God of love. He's the God of power. Praise God. But He's also, as we read here, the God of all comfort. What a beautiful ministry of comfort in our lives. We need to avail ourselves of it, as I mentioned earlier, but we also need to always be on the lookout for how we can be a help to someone else that's going through a similar trial. Our God is the God of all comfort. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we